This is TWiT.
You know what? Right. I tried for the first time last night, and actually I was pretty impressed. Amazon's Alexa, you know, the Echo, the thing that's in your house.
Ooh, you got that?
The tube. One of our editors, Anthony Nielsen, got one, and Mike Elgin has it in his house and is reviewing it. We were over for dinner. You know what? It's pretty cool. I immediately asked for an invitation because if you're a Prime member, it's only $99. First of all, the sound quality is good, and Alexa's pretty smart. You can ask it questions, and she will answer in a nice natural voice. It didn't sound robotic. It's like a little pal in your kitchen, and you can ask them things like, literally, what time does the Super Bowl start? We asked, how old is Michael Jackson? This is a good one. And it said, well, she said in a nice, natural, human, female voice, Michael Jackson died in whatever, 2010, but he was 50 when he died. Actually, he said he was 50 years, 8 months, 29 hours, and 3 seconds old when he died. It was very interesting. It was... I'm amazed that Google hasn't done this. And mm-hmm. I, when I first saw it, I said, this is stupid. Who would want this? And now I want this in every room. In fact, we were all saying, you know who should, Amazon should buy Sonos. Mm-hmm. Those are the speakers that are in every room. And build that this into Sonos. Awesome. And then as you walk through your life, you go, hey, Alexa. And they would tell you.
Smart house. Really smart house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2001, Space Odyssey is here.
Right.
Google's mission was to put in your phone. I think that was the thing. And they didn't want like a separate device for people.
I agree,
to buy,
but I think they missed the boat because of it.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, yeah.
I'm going to have to order one of this.
We'll see how many people outside of our bubble that would want to have that in their house. So
maybe, yeah. But I think if you try it, it kind of surprises you.
No. I'm totally down for it, besides the fact that I feel like it's probably going to make my child a little bit slower. Thankfully, she has me, that I'm a super genius. I'm going to make her smart. But
wait a minute. Wouldn't she? I mean, it's just like having you there. You go, hey, Daddy, what time's the Super Bowl start? And you tell her.
Okay. So perfect example. She's learning to read and write, right? So she has words every week. Now she has to form her own sentences. What used to happen was, she would ask me to reread her sentences. I would help her. And so I'd get out a dictionary or I'd pull a dictionary up online and I'd make her read it and she'd understand it. Now, do you know what I hear in the other room? I hear, okay, Google.
Yeah.
How do you spell ancient?
What's wrong with that?
Okay, Siri. Because she's not looking up the definitions like I'd make her do.
Yeah.
She's just getting the direct word and she skipped me completely.
Jay, you're just jealous because Google is smarter than you are, at least more knowledgeable. It knows more than you do. Let's face it. It really does.
If I could program Google to make her read the definition out loud, I'd be happy with Google. But Google just gives the direct answer and moves on. I'm trying to educate.
They should have a Google student mode.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Where it says, well, I'm going to tell you the answer in a minute, but first do this math problem.
That's called goggles. They've got that for drunks at night.
Yeah, Google goggles.
Text their ex.
Yeah.
anything to make them think more.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how to spell it in a moment. But first, this word from the Holy Roman Empire.
I almost got mad, but she's so smart. Like I got mad when I first heard it. I heard, okay, Google, how do you spell ancient? And I'm looking around like, wait, what? How long has she been doing it? Because I realized in my mind she hadn't been asking me to help her with her homework in like 2 weeks. And she had figured out because, you know, she'll ask me questions like, how many people are in the world? I'm like, oh, ask
but
Siri.
See,
ask
I
Google.
Feel like this may be a change in kind of a big change in how we think of knowledge. That the facts, because they're at your fingertips at all times, are no longer important.
They're commodities.
Because they're commodities because you can get the fact. You can get the spelling of ancient anytime.
Yeah.
You can get the definition of ancient anytime.
Yeah.
And so memorizing all of that stuff is now no longer important. And I don't think that's such a bad thing.
And education, schools need to adapt to that. I mean, if I were a teacher these days, I would give all open web exams. Every exam, I'd say, don't tell me what year the world
is. Isn't knowing what question to ask and where to ask it more important?
Tell me why does it matter?
Right.
You know, why does it matter? Not who.
It's not memorization. It's thinking that we need to teach.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that would be the way I would teach, but they don't let me teach anymore.
I remember my late father-in-law who we gave him an iPad, and he was enthralled. He was a school teacher, was a science teacher, and he was enthralled by it. He loved it, and he said, you know, Copernicus spent most of his energy grinding lenses and manufacturing telescopes so that he could observe the heavens, so that he could figure out that the Earth revolved around the sun. Nowadays. Right. All of the information that he needed is available without any effort. How much more can people figure out because they don't have to spend the time grinding the lenses and making the telescopes? It was an interesting insight.
A long time ago, I was a graduate student. This was my dissertation back in the 80s. Right?
What was your dissertation in?
It was social.
You wrote that big book?
Well, it's mostly charts and graphs. Yeah, I did. But the point is that I spent most of my time in graduate school going up and down the elevator to get between the card catalog and the stacks. I don't think I learned anything other than riding the elevator.
You were good at the elevator, though.
I was good at the elevator. I was able to crunch out a long dissertation. But the point is that the knowledge is so much easier to acquire now, and that means we need to be smarter in how we use it.
Let's learn thinking.
Exactly.
Or do the decimal system.
Yeah, isn't that funny? You don't need that anymore. My alma mater at Yale, the beautiful library, Sterling Library, just got remodeled. And I remember that the entire entryway, huge acres, was filled with card catalogs.
Right.
They're gone. Couches and computer terminals, and it's cozy places to read and study. It's like I wouldn't recognize it. There's no card catalog.
Can you cuddle on those couches if you have a partner? Yeah, that's good. It's better than a card catalog.
Mm-hmm. A lot comfier anyway.
Yeah, true.
Let's take a break. Come back with more. Devinder, we got to get you in the conversation. Just chime in. Don't let these loudmouths
jump in.
We're bullies.
It's okay. It's fine. I like hearing what you guys are doing. But, you know, to what you're saying about the way we're treating knowledge now, for me, I'm excited about like how this will unleash creativity in people. You know, everyone's poo-pooing the fact that we're memorizing less, but that could be a good thing if it kind of gives you time to do something more interesting. Yeah,
learn how to think, not to memorize. Right. Although memorization is fun. Learn, instead of memorizing facts, memorize a poem so you can have a poem in your head.
Especially as I get older, my memory's failing anyway. So.